a lot of people say, you know, all you preach is rightly dividing all the time. Absolutely right. And the reason why is because I believe the very place that Satan is in the Word today is to deceive from the truth. If the Word of God is established, and we know that in Romans 16, chapter 16, verse 25 through 26, that we are established, what's the very thing that Satan will want to corrupt? It'll be the Word. It's not the issue of how you're living your life or what he can do to you as a curse you or whatever, because all our blessings are in heavenly places. And so the issue today is you need to read your Word and study your Word. So off and on through the weeks, besides just going through Acts a lot that we're doing, I also want to bring in some excerpts of things that we need to remember, because the truth is the truth. And so this morning, we're going to talk about comparing what you hear in the Bible all the time, prophecy and mystery. And so the next couple of weeks, that's what we're going to talk about, prophecy and mystery. And I want to look at those two programs that are in the Word of God. And one, of course, is prophecy. When James gave me this look like, okay, what's going on?
That's what we're doing next week, too.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Good. Well, maybe I ain't even going to say it. I was going to have fun, but I'm not going to have fun for that. First, let's look at the word prophetic. The word prophetic, a lot of times you see it and say, oh, Lord, here comes this big old word. Prophecy, it's clear. It's God's purpose to establish a literal, and these are all a bunch of words together, so we're going to take it slow. But it's God's purpose to establish a literal, that means you can see it, it's evident, it's a literal, a physical, okay, an earthly kingdom, okay? And it's Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, and it's ruling over 12 apostles who will rule over 12 tribes of Israel. When you see prophecy, that's what it is, okay? And to give you an example of that, if you go to Genesis chapter 12, okay, and look at verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Let's look at the word prophecy so we understand when somebody mentions prophecy, what it is meaning and where it's going to. Okay, so as you're turning to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, whenever you see prophecy, it was to establish a literal, physical, earthly kingdom. That's what it was to do. Okay? And in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto what? A land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee..." Now here's a prophetic, here's something that is prophetic, okay? "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This is a literal, physical kingdom that we can that is going to come that didn't happen. Why? Because they crucified Christ. When he came to set up his kingdom, they didn't believe he was the Son of God. But it was a promise that was made all the way back to Abraham, and it was a prophetic promise that is going to happen in a millennial kingdom. So when you see the word prophecy, typically every time in the Word when there is prophecy, it deals with a physical kingdom, okay, and established, something that is literal, okay? And it always has to do with an earthly kingdom, Jesus Christ being the King, and ruling over 12 apostles, okay, who rule over 12 tribes of Israel. Now these tribes will rule over all the nations of the earth on the earth. Now, and I'm going to tell you what, when you read your Word, you're going to find out probably, I would say, two-thirds of all your Bible consists of a physical, literal kingdom that's being talked about that is being prophesied. Okay, I'd say probably 85-90% is, if I had to guess. Okay, let me give you an example of what's going to take place. Go to Matthew chapter 19 and look at verse 27. Matthew 19:27. I believe, as I started studying this week, this is probably one of the most important areas that we can understand when we read our Bible to know whether it's sharing prophecy, or know whether it's sharing mystery. Because we're in a mystery. That's where we are at. Okay? Matthew 19:27. I said a minute ago that it'll be Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be ruling over 12 apostles who will rule over 12 tribes of Israel. We know this hasn't happened. It never happened, but it will one day. So when you go to Matthew 19:27, you're going to see something that Christ promised that hasn't happened that is going to happen. And in Matthew 19:27 it said, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." We see here that it's clear that Peter now has left everything he's left, and for a couple of years and a little bit more, he has forsaken everything to Christ. He's given everything up for this to happen, for this promise. But those of Israel did not believe Jesus was the Christ, and so it wasn't going to be set up. And so notice what Peter says. "Then answered Peter and said to him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit," see how physical and literal it is, "shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's prophecy. That's something that's going to happen. Okay? These tribes will rule over all nations of the earth on the earth. Now, you see what the prophecy program is. Now, I want you to look at a mystery program. Okay? Go to Ephesians chapter 3 and let's look at verse 1. There's no way that these two programs can happen and be together all in one unless they're separate at separate places. In Ephesians chapter 3, let's look at verses 1 through 7. Okay? Thank you, Reese. She's telling you about it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul. We know he wrote this epistle. We know that Apostle Paul was received the revelation of the mystery. Not Peter, not the other apostles. It says in Ephesians 3:1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me," what? "The mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." By the way, that doesn't say when I sit here and teach it to you, because I'm going to tell you what, I'm not stupid. I've sat in the congregations before. I've sat in studies before. And there's no way you can retain, or I guess the words retain or attain, everything that I say. You're going to look at your neighbor. You're going to talk to your friends. You're going to zoom out a little bit and think what you're going to eat today. There's no way you're going to remember everything I say. My hope is you catch some of it. You know, and down the road you'll think, hey, I remember hearing that. The issue is reading, though. You have to read it to attain it. You're not going to attain it just listening to me. It's not going to happen. I've been there. I've sat in congregations before. As much as I wanted to listen, I could not attain it all if I didn't say a word to anybody or look at my neighbor one time. There's no way. I mean, that's just how it is. And so the Apostle Paul makes it clear, he didn't say when another person teaches you. He says when you read, that you may understand. If you don't read it, you're not going to understand it, guys. It's so important, because I'm telling you, Satan will deceive you. He'll take this word and he will mix it. He will make you think it's all, every bit of it, both programs are for you, and it's not. And so you got to see this, where Paul says in Ephesians 3:4, "Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now, Paul ain't saying my knowledge like he's somebody. He carries on, "my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." What Christ shared with him. Okay, verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Nobody else knew this mystery. They were in a prophecy program. In the prophecy program during the kingdom of the gospel, it was a promise that went all the way back to Abraham. That as you read the Old Testament all the way through Acts chapter 8, there is a prophecy program that is coming to life, that is being fulfilled, but has yet been done and will be finished in the times of refreshing. And so you see here, that's what Paul says. In verse 6, he says, why? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the prophecy program, by the kingdom, by what he promised Abraham? Absolutely not. It says by the gospel. The gospel means good news. There's more than one good news. The gospel that Paul preached was the death, the burial, and resurrection that he said ahead of it in Ephesians. It was hid. Nobody else ever knew about it until Paul shared this mystery. And until you read it, you won't understand it. It's clear if you back up. Verse 7. Whereof I, see how personal, it doesn't say we, it doesn't say me and the other apostles. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to what? To the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. The power of what? The death, burial, and the resurrection. You won't read this in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You won't read this in the Old Testament. It was a prophecy program hidden. It was a mystery. If you don't read the word, you won't understand it. And everybody you listen to, you're going to say, oh, they're really smart. Wow, they're wise. Or you're going to laugh at them. They're going to entertain you. And I'm telling you, you'll be deceived if you don't divide it. If you don't rightly divide the word truth, you're going to miss it. And you're going to think everybody you hear is right. I did it. It was hid from ages past. That's what's said. It was made manifest. The mystery program was made manifest by the Lord Jesus Christ to who? To the Apostle Paul. Nobody else. He said, whereof I was made a minister. He says, according to the gift of the grace of God. Now, to clear this, we ended last week in 1 Timothy 1:16, how we know it's to the Apostle Paul, how we know it was his pattern on the mystery program. Go to 1 Timothy 1:16. Now, I'm not going to take all day to do this. If I have to stop, I'm going to stop because I can't tell you how important this is. Youth, I mean, you got guys that show up at your school. You got people that show up at your school. Grant will tell me about it. He's got guys that show up at his school. And they're cool. They're hilarious. They're funny. I've been there. But I'm going to tell you what. They will deceive when they share things in the Word of God that have nothing to do with the dispensation you're in. I don't care how funny they are. The issue is truth. Because the truth is the only thing that will set you free. That's what the Word of God says. That's according to the Scriptures. So it comes a point in time where there's got to be a time in our life when we're going to be serious and we're going to believe what we hear by reading and knowing the person sharing truth by reading. That's the issue. 1 Timothy 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, when? First. He doesn't go back to any other apostles. He says, that in me, first, Jesus Christ, what? Might show all longsuffering. For what? It was for a pattern. When you have a pattern, that means you're copying something, right? It says, for a pattern to them which should what? Hereafter, believe on him to life everlasting. If you don't follow Paul's pattern in the mystery program, in this dispensation, I'm telling you what, your life everlasting can be very deceivable, and you're going to find out that you may be wrong the whole time because you've been following a prophecy program that was to Israel, that was to the nation of Israel, and not to you. You've got to divide the Scriptures. All right, so we see that there's definitely a difference in what Paul shares and what this promise was of this little earthly kingdom. This is God's purpose to form what? A spiritual body of believers. The mystery program is a body of Christ. It is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. That's what we know about the mystery program. The prophecy program is a literal kingdom that's going to be set up on earth, that is going to be ran by Jesus Christ. He's going to sit on a throne. And the 12 apostles are going to sit on, and they're going to judge the 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes are going to rule the nations. And they're going to go and they're going to worship the king. And it's going to happen physically on earth. Okay? The mystery message, which is the grace of the gospel of grace that Paul preached, that was given to him as a pattern, it deals with us being the body. Not the bride, the body. Okay? And he is the head. The body is perfected. Let me prove it to you. It's perfect when the Word is established. We are completed in Christ. Nobody shares that but the Apostle Paul. It's not in any other epistle. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and look at verse 10. And I'm going this slow because I want you to mark your Bible if you can, so you can prove what is to you and what isn't. In Colossians 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, "And ye are complete in Him," which is what? "The head of all principality and power." Do you see anything literal or earthly in that? Nothing at all. It's spiritual. The mystery deals with spiritual. Prophecy deals with physical, is what it does. Now, we're also in this mystery program today. You and I are conformed to the image of God's Son. We don't see where we're ruling over 12 tribes. We don't see where we're blessed or we're cursed. It has all changed in the dispensation of grace. Because we're the body. We're spiritual. Okay? Now, go to Romans 8:29. I'm about to get to my point, so bear with me. These scriptures are important. In Romans 8:29, let me remind you, the Apostle Paul says, "For whom he did foreknow," a lot of people think they'll go into predestination and foreknow, but you know who he foreknew? You got to remember, Christ is all-knowing, and he absolutely foreknew that Israel was going to reject him. And he knew that there was a mystery program hidden in before the ages that was given to Paul, and he foreknew what he was going to give to us as Gentiles, as being the body of Christ. So him he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Do you see that? We're conformed to his image, to the image of God's Son. Why? Because we're the body. We are the spiritual body of Christ. Okay? Let me prove it to you. Now remember, prophecy, a literal earthly kingdom, King of Kings, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But look where we belong today in the dispensation of grace. We will be ruling and reigning with Christ, not on earth, not with the 12 tribes, but in heavenly places. Okay? One thing I'll remind you, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they never looked to go into heaven. What did they pray? They prayed for heaven to come as they prayed for it to come to earth as it is in heaven. They're always looking. You know, when John in Revelation is looking up, and you know what he sees? He sees the city coming down. He doesn't see himself going up. A lot of people preach that there's going to be streets of gold and gates of bronze. Can I remind you, that's the New Jerusalem here on earth. It's not in heaven. John saw it coming down, but we always think of it as going up. Think about it. So let's look where we are in Ephesians chapter 1. Go to verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. We will be ruling and reigning not on earth, but in heavenly places. We're the body. We're the spirit. And Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with" what? "All spiritual blessings." Where? "In heavenly places in Christ." You will not read that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are blessed with heavenly places. Okay? He has blessed us with what? Spiritual blessings. This is why good people die of cancer. Okay? The issue ain't physical. This is why bad people, you see, how do they get away with that? And some of them lived 100 years old. You know why? They're not being cursed. That's not the issue today. Okay? That is not the issue. Now don't get me wrong. If I go out and I drive like an idiot, there are consequences for what I do. And things are going to happen. But what about the innocent person that I run into? Things are going to happen to innocent people too. Why? We don't belong here. We've already been blessed. When we're saved, we're in spiritual places. We're in heavenly places. It is Christ in us. Our job is to exemplify Christ in us as long as we're here on earth. Whether we've had a good day, whether we've had a bad day. I preached last week being thankful for everything. Because the issue isn't physical. The issue is spiritual. You got to think about that. Now look, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1:20. Go to Ephesians 1:20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in where? Heavenly places. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 6. Just giving you a few different scriptures here to show you we're not on earth. Ephesians 2 6. And hath raised us up how? Together. And made us sit where? Together in heavenly places. In whom? In Christ Jesus. Okay? Look at Ephesians 3 verse 10. This I love. To the intent that now, under the principalities and powers, where? In heavenly places, might be known by the what? What's the church? The body. By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. By the way, can I tell you something? Today, in the dispensation of the grace of God, the pattern that Paul had that was hid before Paul, the way that we're saved dealing with the death, burial, and the resurrection that Christ forgave us, that he was buried and resurrected, that we are forgiven for all our sins. It's already been paid for. The issue today, okay, has nothing to do with our blessings on earth. It is in heaven. I want you to look at the differences now in these two programs. There's a prophetic program. We read it back in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, about Abraham. Went all the way up. They didn't trust that Christ was the Messiah, the Son of God. They crucified him. So the kingdom was not set up. But that doesn't mean Christ doesn't fulfill his promises. But in the middle of what was going on, what was hidden in the ages is he saved Paul. He gave Paul a revelation of the mystery, which can save us, not just Israel, but now we can be saved as the body of Christ. And when Christ takes us out of here, his prophetic program is going to carry on and it's going to be fulfilled. We're going to be in heaven and there's going to be an earthly kingdom. Right? Does that make sense? And that's exactly what's going on here. And you got to look at that. There's a prophetic and a mystery program. You cannot just take the Word of God and pull out anything you want and make it fit the way you want it to fit. Because if it does, somebody else can take it and make it not fit. The Word of God has divisions. It's prophetic or it's mystery. You got to know. There are clear truths that show the prophetic program in the times of full operation. Prophecy was revealed and has been fulfilled. Mystery was hidden. And that's what we just read about. The revelation of the mystery cannot appear in your Bible before Acts chapter 9. Can't do it. It won't do it. Because it was hid. I mean, it was a mystery that Christ began revealing it to the Apostle Paul. So before that, it was always a prophecy program. Prophecy and mystery. Guys, listen. Prophecy and mystery are two different things. They're different. They are absolutely different. Okay? One was hidden. The other one was revealed. Don't forget that. Okay? Prophecy is about what? It's about the earth. Mystery is about heavenly places. That's what we just read. Christ is the king and the of the prophetic people. He is the head of the mystery of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, I want you to think about this. I heard somebody else say this before, so it ain't like, don't sit here like, wow, that's really smart, because I just heard it from somebody else. Okay, so this is awesome. I think Terrence McLean says, isn't it amazing, prophecy has the king. Okay? What did Israel do? You can walk away from the king, can't you? That's exactly what they did. I just think that's so smart. You know why? You can't walk away from your head. Now, in the prophetic program, if you do not endure, if you do not fulfill those things that Christ told them to fulfill, to repent, to be baptized, they could die out of their faith. Those that died out of their faith will not be resurrected in the kingdom gospel. They will go to hell. They could walk away from their king. Can I tell you something? When you're saved by the Holy Spirit, when He comes in you, okay, your flesh is dead and you're saved. You can't walk away from the head. When you're saved, you're saved. That doesn't mean you're not going to rebel. It doesn't mean you're not going to trust in the flesh and mess up. But when you're saved, you can't get unsaved. Does that make sense? I just thought that was so wise. I knew you probably didn't think I'd think of that, because I didn't. But I just thought, wow, that makes all the sense in the world. And that's what Israel did. They walked away from the king. But you can't walk away from the head, because we're part of the body. We're the body of Christ. It just fits so good. We are one in Him. We are complete in Him. Now, I've got 2 minutes. Okay? So, I tell you what. I'm not going to go any further, because it's just so important that you see these differences. So, this morning, we can see here this morning that you can definitely tell the promises that were made in the prophetic program, okay, are earthly. They're physical. There are blessings and there's curses. The mystery program is a heavenly thing that we are blessed with. When we are crucified with Christ, it's not I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. You see, our spirit, we're in heavenly places. All our blessings are in heavenly places. The issue isn't whether you're blessed or whether you're cursed here on earth. Okay? That's why bad things happen to good people. Okay? Because we're in this tent. We're in this body. This fleshly body. But yet it's been crucified with Christ. It's been buried. Our sins have been buried. But what's in me, okay, is the Spirit. And it's been saved. And I'm part of the body of Christ. A lot of people say, well, you're crazy. That just means you can do anything you want. You're absolutely right. I can do anything I want, and I'm as saved as I can be. Because I'm saved because I trust in what Christ did. Yet, this is what I want to do, because I'm enlightened so much to see how blessed I am spiritually. That means when something bad happens to me, people can't say, oh, he just must be living wrong. Or he must just be... Don't have anything to do with that. The issue is, Christ is taking care of us in the mystery program. It is done. And we'll look at the rest next week. Okay? We're going to separate prophecy program and the mystery program. Okay? We're going to see the differences. I hope y'all enjoyed this. When I got this, you know what I did? I slowed down. I kept finding myself getting in a hurry and a hurry and a hurry trying to get done. I just thought, I need to slow down. We need to look at things for ourselves. And you know what? You're not going to understand this if you don't read. I didn't say it. Apostle Paul said it. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word and your truth. How clear it is that there are two different programs that we are to study to show ourselves approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God, we know your word is perfect, it's precise, it's absolute, and it's by whence we are established. When your word says that which is made perfect, which we know is your word, we can see in full. So when we take this word, it's clear. We are saved by the gospel of your grace, by what you did on the cross. We don't have to fulfill anything. We don't have to worry about what commandments we follow, what we sacrifice, whether we're doing good works, because you've done it all. We're saved by your grace.
And our blessings are in heavenly places. God, we also know it's clear that when we read your scripture that we've got to divide it because some things do not pertain to us. We know that all the scripture is for us, but it's not all to us. And we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen.